Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. What a treat it is to spend this moment with you. Today, the topic is different perspectives. I got a call from a dear friend last night, and they were not in a very good headspace. I could hear in his voice, and he started sharing his weekend, and he started sharing, you know, first, some of the good things that happened the weekend, but his voice, it was so, I could just wait for, but. And he talked about activities with his family and his neighbors and his kids and all these things that happened. And then he started talking about how at the end of a long day, with his kids kind of pushing his buttons, he eventually kind of got overwhelmed and went into his garage and just hit this old piece of furniture that they had just put outside and taken pictures of that they were going to sell on Craigslist. And in the process of hitting this thing, in his mind, he was like, okay, it's a solid piece of furniture. I'm just going to vent. But he busted it. And he was confessing this with this shame and this frustration with how much he had backpedaled on his spiritual journey and how much he felt like he had failed and how much he felt like he was not as far along as he once was. And as he was, you know, continuing to kind of go into this self-judgment and this just kind of pain about this thing that he had fallen into, this demonstration of his weaknesses and his failure, I was like, can I just pause you for a second and reflect back what I'm witnessing? Because if I didn't hear it in his voice, I would have thought that he was telling me a success story. Or if he was texting to me, I would have been like, yeah, emoji, thumbs up, woohoo. Because this is what I heard. This is the scenes of this movie as I would have edited them and the music that I would have played over it. He was playing dun, dun, dun. I would have played this. Dun, 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 dun. Because this is what I saw. I saw a person with a life full of responsibilities and challenges and all sorts of input that is beyond his control. And then when finally getting to a place where he was off kilter and not at his best, he was able to get out of a public situation and express himself and channel his anger and frustration in a way that was, for all intents and purposes, harmless. The collateral damage of his outburst was pretty much zero. It actually could have been a positive effect. I was like, dude, did you really want to spend time dealing with Craigslist stuff for a, you know, $40 janky piece of furniture? You did yourself a favor. This was not a failure. This was a demonstration of your body's and your mental spiritual systems kicking in and working. Would it have been more ethereal and angelic and mystic-like if you just went, I have no purpose for this frustration in my divine, well-lit path of perfection? Sure, that might have been a more impressive path, but you're human, and you have in you these biological reactions. And so having the ability to process and deal with those things in a way that is not detrimental, that was not even in witnessed by his family. At first, I thought he was going to tell the story and say how he, you know, threw something in front of his kids but I was like, oh my gosh, dude, you rocked this. Bravo. It's almost like you got in a car accident and you kind of like, oh my gosh, your airbags went off, you're covered in powder, and you're just embarrassed. But the reality is, the airbags worked. You're alive. You're fit to go on with living and driving and becoming a better driver every day. And yeah, it sucks that you got in an accident. But maybe this is the thing that kind of reminds you of how important it is to be mindful. Maybe it kind of gives you a little more clarity on something that you know that you have to do work with. You know, I think the scary thing and the hard thing is that, and I have definitely experienced this, is when you get to see a scary part of yourself, it's like, oh my gosh, if there was a perfect storm of circumstances, like here, I lost my temper and I was able to deal with it in a not negative or not destructive way. Not exceptionally destructive. Yeah, okay, destroyed a piece of furniture. But if you think about, okay, I have that potential. What if there was a perfect storm of circumstances? I was unable to get away. Somebody pushed my buttons or shoved me. I mean, I have the potential in me to do something that I would regret. And I've had that feeling. I've punched a wall and punched a hole through it. I've broken a door. I've thrown something at a treasured painting of mine and ripped it. It's been a few years, but each time that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, that demon is a part of me. And I've gotten better at better and noticing when he's coming to visit and trying to change the circumstances so at least I can channel it towards a non-animate piece of janky furniture and not towards a person that's in front of me. I've never done that, never had the impulse to, but I could see how that impulse could be expressed in a way that would change your life in a horrible way forever. And I think being exposed to that darkness and that possibility is the kind of really scary thing. And maybe it was the thing that kind of triggered his judgment and frustration with himself. But I was like, hey man, I hear you. I'm sure this feels terrible. But from where I'm sitting, you are a badass warrior. And he said back, well, badass warrior in training, I guess, like everyone. And I was like, amen! So I just wanted to kind of reflect upon that concept of how different a circumstance can be, how different an activity, a milestone, a potential definition of failure can be when seen from a different place. I remember Jacob Glass saying that you don't have control over the events of your life, but you have control over how you tell the story. You're an editor, and you are delivered all of this footage, and you choose which of the pieces that you, where you cut it, what you put next to each other, and what music you play over it. So if you go, dun, 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 oh no, I've broken something. Or you go, I broke something all by myself. Nobody saw me lose my shit. That means I am the shit. Do, 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 do. Ah, thank you for being a part of this journey and allowing me to witness my shit. It is such a treat to spend this time with you. I love you. I apologize for using a swear word earlier, but you know, I can't believe that there's a researcher, a study that went around that said that using some profanity makes you seem more trustworthy. And that's gotta have been being spread around, because at the last conference I went to, Wisdom 2.0, it felt like every speaker sweared at some point. I was like, this seems different than I've ever experienced at a grown-up conference. But, you know, apparently it makes you feel more human. You're not a robot, motherfucker. Sorry, I didn't mean that. In fact, as it came out of my mouth, I felt like, You know, part of that is because I worked for 2 years with these emotionally disturbed young boys, and you know, if they sweared, they were in trouble. And so it was critical that I did not swear out loud as staff. And so I got really aware of when something came out of my mouth that was anything more than a bummer or duty. Oh, golly. Gosh darn it. Anything else with ammunition for the kids to use against me. So I'm... Oh, golly. I wanted to share something I read on Tumblr that I thought was genius. Why does so much post-apocalyptic media have people wearing straight-up BDSM fetish gear? Like, do the kinksters watch the world ending and think, oh boy, I can wear my bondage gear in public now? Skellafolk posted this. What I want to know is why the spiky kink warriors are always the bad, evil marauders. In the balance. So they might be into some weird shit and unafraid to show it, but that doesn't mean they don't want to go around killing dudes. They're a tight-knit bunch. A lot of them are queer. They understand the importance of community. If the government collapses and its all laws come to an end, the people rampaging around killing and looting are going to be like frat boys and 4chan rejects. You can mistrust the bondage raiders all you like, but they're definitely the ones you're going to run to for help when the neoliberal blood cultist and Nazi meme demons lay siege to your survivor enclave. There's going to be gay boy berserkers busting up slaver gangs and burning down war boy frat houses. The assless chaps, leather daddies, and weird pet play people are going to be the accidental peacekeepers of the post-apocalyptic world. Just because they're the only motherfuckers who understand the importance of consent anymore. Listen, don't come to me asking how to get the secret cadre of bisexual death commandos to protect your wretched tent village if you're scared that we might call in the kinksters for backup. I don't give a shit if they dress up like dogs and spend all day writing poems about butt plugs. There's assholes out there acting like Vlad the Impaler on a meth bender, and you're afraid of seeing a nipple? Fuck you. If you really want to get rid of the MRA death gangs, you're going to have to accept that a lesbian chainsaw dominatrix or two might be involved. It's a fucking post-apocalypse, my guy. We gotta weigh our priorities here. I love that! Thank you, Skellafolk from Tumblr. As a huge childhood fan of Road Warrior, who actually became much more obsessed with the bad guys, especially Wes, the red mohawked gentleman, who upon first several viewings of this film, I did not get that the blonde-haired gentleman was his lover. I was not sophisticated enough in my understanding of the implications of said assless chaps and leash between two consenting male adults. But I, too, agree with the importance of the kinksters in the post-apocalyptic world.